Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And this is like one of those rides that you go on in an amusement park where you get in and you go, oh, I wonder what this is. And it just takes off like a rocket because we are walking in with the middle of controversy in game six between the Hawks and the 76ers just seconds ago.
The timing couldn't have been better, buddy.
No, like, I mean, it's like
literally I got Sam in for Alex Dyer going, Harmon. Trying to connect me as I'm like, hold on. I'm like, wait a minute. There's something crazy going on here. I need to see a replay. What the hell just happened?
So let me just get you caught up on everything that's going on right now. There's just under 4 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. And I got to say, I think they got it right. The adjudication of what happened, I believe they got it all right. Joel Embiid, a couple of moments ago, goes in for a rebound for a hoop, uses his whole body, and just kind of crushes John Collins' face with his right arm. They call an offensive foul on Joel Embiid. Both players fall to the floor. Collins shoves Embiid, and then they both stand up, and Embiid spreads his arms out like saying, what did I do? As he backs Collins off the floor and into the crowd. And it doesn't just go, what do I do? It was crazy. And there was a big timeout on the floor because, you know, hey, listen, if Joel Embiid gets tossed, Joel Embiid getting tossed from this game, are you kidding? But they came back after the review, and the review was the offensive foul on Joel Embiid stood. Embiid and Collins both get technicals. Sixers maintained a 7-point lead with 4 minutes left to go. And all of this stuff, the NBA got this right. Look, okay, the offensive foul on Embiid, got it. Both technical fouls, yes, because Collins pushed Embiid. Embiid wouldn't have gotten a technical had he not stood up and pushed him off and walked him off the court.
Yeah,
but you know, look, I think they got it right. And this could have been out of control. It could have been insanity. But it was a crazy few moments. And now we get to see the end of the game that the Sixers have played much better than I thought they would tonight as they try to get this to game seven.
Yeah, Hawks down the stretch here. They just saw a 3-point shot from Gallinari, their first make in about 5 minutes. So a big shot to get them back in. But it's the curiosity, right? So huge blow to send Collins to the ground and Embiid lands on him and Collins just shoves him off like, all right, just get off me, because Embiid's been flopping and laying all over people. You hit him in the nose and he lays down on the ground. So things going on there, and then he does, like, he's crowd controlled, nothing to see here, get back, and spreads his arms but walks towards him.
Right, and he's so big,
contact,
you can't get around him. Like,
yeah,
you can't get around
contact,
him.
And you can see Collins just laughing, like, what the hell are we doing here? What is this? But he doesn't throw a punch. He doesn't stick his shoulder into him or anything. So it's like, all right, what are you going to call? You called nothing. You double T, no free throws. Offensive foul stands, moving on. It was intense, right? And I'll be curious to see, because you had everybody run off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
oh,
you had guys flying all over the place. I think Kevin Durant's personal bodyguard came flying out on the court as well. For that missed that, that was kind of a big deal in the other series.
Oh, sure. No, and I saw
from Milwaukee and everything.
Yeah, I saw the Suns fan who said, we're in four. I saw him come off the floor. He was a little bit upset, waving tickets to game one.
Yeah, well, act like an ass and get free stuff. I've been living right.
This is the world. You know this, man. This is how it goes.
This is crazy.
This is just how it works.
They made an action figure of him, custom thing, and then he got a bunch of jersey and tickets and all nine yards. Either way, adjudicated well, as you so astutely pointed out. But it's good to have some theater, right? Mixed therein, like you said, Sixers putting up a fight early on, and Embiid had to sit because of foul trouble. He's been a turnover machine with eight. But here we are, a 1-point game with 2 minutes remaining. Let's go.
Embiid would be a great WWE character because nobody does the "what did I do" better than Embiid. Like,
well,
he's doing the "what did I do"
it so much.
Yeah,
right?
he's doing "what the hell did I do" as he's pushing John Collins off.
I don't know what you want me to do. Walking in that direction and backing him into the crowd.
He plays that role great, man. "What did I do? I didn't do anything. What did I do?" He's perfect at that. That is a phenomenal role for him.
But add the fact that he had Triple H with him.
Uh-huh.
He's done the D-Generation X chop on a number of occasions. He loves the microphone, acts the fool. There's so much going on, and now the lights have gone off.
Yes, the lights are now out with just under 2 minutes left to go. And TJ, Trae Young's three just put the lights out in Atlanta. Trae Young hits a three to make it 94-93 with just under 2 minutes left to go. Timeout on the floor. And the lights go out. And now everybody's got their cell phones out, waving them around, trying to light the floor like they can actually.
It's like a McCartney concert. Yeah. Happy birthday, Sir Paul. Yeah. Maybe I'm amazed at the way. Oh, sorry.
Like, this is Legend of Bagger Vance, and everybody's going to go up with the lights of their cars to light the floor so they can play. But yeah, that's exactly what happened. And it's an awesome view right now. I got to tell you, it is a pretty awesome thing to see everybody waving their phones up like, "Hey, we can play. Everybody can kind of see, can't they?" It was just seconds ago. We went to the timeout. We were coming back. Trae Young had hit a three. It was exciting. And now there's no lights. So
no, I like it. Look, again, great theater. and obfuscation of, "Hey, what else is going on in the league? This guy doesn't like this guy. This guy hates his organization. This guy's organization is going up in flames. This guy's trying to do a Vegas, workaround and misdirection by bringing in all the legends of the past so you don't know what's going on in his coaching and front office. Hey, come on back, Dirk. Michael Finley. You remember Michael Finley, Wisconsin legend. He was here." It's so crazy. But now the lights go off. It's like, that's great.
But now the lights are back on. So I think we're going to get back. The lights somehow went back on. I don't know what it was, but the lights went back on.
They found the generator. They got a guy back there with a big crank.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go.
You want a great lights going off story? I can tell it now because this is well over 20 years old, this story.
I'm a little afraid as what comes out here.
I worked in a supermarket, and it was Saturday, right? Saturday's a big day in the supermarket, right? And all of a sudden, middle of the day, like 2:30, the lights went out in the store. Everything went out. Power went out. Everything. People are shopping. And it was, this is, Saturday in a supermarket is a huge, huge deal, right? It's crowded to capacity. And so they had to let everybody leave. So everybody had to leave. They couldn't stay and shop because we didn't know when the lights were going to go back on. Everybody left their carts out. We all had to put all the food back that people had shopped and everything else. It was insane. And I'm like, I can't believe this happened. And then my friend who worked with me, like 3 days later, said, you know what happened? What? I went in the generator room and I took a belt off. I said, what do you mean? I'm picturing you took your belt off? No, I took a belt off. I said, you took a belt? He goes, yeah, I took a belt off the generator. And that's why it went out. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Did you ask him why?
I'm like, why did you do it? He goes, I don't know. I wanted to see what would happen. I go, what? What did you
of all the things you could want to do and explore with the many thousands of items in your typical grocery store, you decide to go back and play with the electrical and the air conditioning and wow.
That's what he wanted to do. I wanted to see what happened. And like as soon as he took the belt off, it went, everything.
Dude, that's a felony. We're talking about thousands of dollars of and tens of thousands of spoiled food.
The food went back. I think they got it back on pretty quickly. Like it wasn't something. Like all they do was put the belt back on. And they did it. And they said, okay, but by the time
they
took them.
What if he had absconded with the belt?
Yeah, well, I know. That it was. But by the time they figured it out, like people had left the store and everything else, but everything goes back on. He goes, I took the belt off. I wanted to see. I'm like, oh, wow. So maybe my friend is actually working in Atlanta tonight for this game.
Between you and in your mailbox theft and this guy, a bunch of hoodlums running around.
Wait, suddenly you're from The Simpsons? I heard they once killed a guy in New York City and they never found out who did it. Oh, you don't know when to shut up, Steve Sachs. it's just what it was. And my thing with the mailbox was upstate New York, and it's not a crime if you steal a mailbox on a Sunday. It's not a crime. There's no post on Sunday.
Categorically untrue.
No post on Sunday. No post on Sunday. You know what my favorite day? No post on Sunday. No post.
Nicely done. Let's honor him. Rest in peace, man.
It is 97-93. The Sixers with the lead with a minute left to go, trying to force Game 7. And I got to be honest, I did not see this kind of game coming from the Sixers. I didn't think they'd get off the plane. The way they lost this last game, the way they had blown it, I thought this is going to be one of those games where the Hawks are going to win this thing 115-78, and it's going to be over real, real early. But the Sixers have played extremely well tonight. And look, it's not just been Embiid. This is not where Embiid said, hey, get on my back. This has been Embiid having an okay game, but he's not really shooting well. But Seth Curry, again, Tobias Harris finally have been enough. The last two games, Seth Curry, I mean, really, I mean, we have to redo the Curry rankings after this. Now, Steph Curry is now second.
No, it's hard.
He has done enough. And for the Hawks, clearly they're missing Bogdanovich, who left the game with an injury, is not going to return. Not like he was having a great game, but you're missing a lot of firepower there. And so Trae Young is having a good night, but it's not been enough because the Sixers have been so balanced across the board. You got Maxey with 13 off the bench and 7 boards. They have really come to play. And again, either this is going to be we're done with the season, we're walking away, we're finished.
Yeah, he hit a couple of big shots in a row. Maxey did. Couple of straight possessions. Conversely, you look at where some fails are in the Hawks lineup. Lou Williams, 11 minutes, 0-for-5. Only one of those actually a three-point shot, which is a rarity. Minus 12 for the game. So that's not helping matters at all, what you would normally anticipate, at least a little bit of a second unit coming in and giving you a lift. And Trae Young's a better man and doesn't work referees nearly as much as everybody else, because he was dribbling on a possession that they ended up allowing it to stand as a clean steal, but it was pretty obvious that he got fouled, because they've called fouls for far less in this game. And he just kind of looked to the ref and was like, all right, I gave it back on defense. That's not going to do me any good. But it was just one of those. He's driving into the lane. Looks like he's going to have a little bit of a floater in the lane, maybe add to his big night. And instead, it's going the other way. So now it's a question of hitting free throws and keeping the ball away from Ben Simmons.
Well, and that's the thing. That's the one name we didn't mention in this game, hey, is Ben Simmons. Why? Because he's got 6 points. He's taken 6 shots. He's got 9 rebounds.
Yeah.
You know, he's got 5 assists. But sure. Ben Simmons, this is not what you need from a guy who's supposed to be your second best player that you are building around. I mean, no matter how this season ends for the Sixers, Ben Simmons is going to end up on another team. Because clearly with what they are paying him and what they are getting out of him is two different things. And you sell him as a change of scenery guy and a guy in a system where he doesn't need to be the second best player. And that's what's going to happen. But after this season, Ben Simmons is gone. No matter how far the Sixers get, Ben Simmons is gone, because clearly he's not the guy that they thought he would be. He's the same player he was his rookie year, except now that the game has evolved, he hasn't. He still doesn't hit shots, doesn't take threes. And what do you have to do if you're a guard? You got to take shots, got to hit threes. He's not that guy. And you can't rely on Seth Curry to be suddenly, hey, he's Steph Curry, even though he's the best Curry right now. But you need somebody else who can be able to score, and Ben Simmons is too much money to be that number two, and you got to find a way to move out of it. Because clearly, you look at what Ben Simmons is, the guy's invisible. I mean, when you get down to the end of the game, he gets the ball and I'm just passing it up and I'm standing in to cut a screen and then I'm moving out of the way. I mean, he's no threat with the basketball at all. No threat to try to drive the lane for a dish, anything else. I'm just going to play my game and try to make things happen on the perimeter and just move the ball around and set screens when I can.
It's time to shine.
He's gone.
Yeah, time to shine in the final moments, though, right, when you're protecting a lead, given his defensive prowess. But to your point, I just don't know who's going to want that contract. And I've seen so many articles of, hey, here's 11 possible destinations. Like, yeah, great. How many teams can really just say, okay, we'll bring this guy in because we need a $34 million defensive specialist?
Lakers. Lakers will bring him in. Lakers,
Kyle Kuzma stripped off all his Lakers stuff from social media. So
Lakers will do it. There's teams that will do it, Mike Harmon. Lakers will
I'm not saying there's not someone that won't, or multiple teams that'll be curious, because there are still some great parts to his game. But there's one that is a giant black hole as it currently stands. And there's no way around that. And everybody's saying, he's still young. He's going to get it. It's like, is he really? Come on now.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. A 3-point lead for the Sixers with 20 seconds left to go. And TJ, clearly, this game will be known as the night the lights went out in Georgia. TJ. You know that's that's the best one. I was saving that one for the end.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. It is over in Atlanta. Sixers win it 104-99. There will be a Game 7. And we have much more on this game coming up, but just really quick, watching the end of this game and how the Hawks were not able to cut into that Sixers lead late, the Sixers made free throws. The Sixers did exactly what you see teams do with Steph Curry. When Steph Curry at the end of games, when it comes down time to it in the final 2-3 minutes, we're not going to let you get one of those crazy ass threes off. We're going to stop you and make you have to dish the ball away. And this is why Steph Curry is not as important and can't impact the game in the final few minutes because teams shut him down. Same thing the Sixers did here at the end with Trae Young. He had one shot. He had one hoop in the final 8 minutes. And you saw at the end as they were trying to come back, they weren't going to give Trae Young that three. He had to dish it out, was not able to impact the game. And it was a great defensive strategy because clearly, look, when you're a smaller guy and you need room to get your shot out, okay, it's going to be a lot different in the end of a game when you need to than it is in the beginning of the game when you need to. And here was Trae Young, who struggled in a large way. He's only 6'1", to try to get his shot at the end of the game.
Well, that's the big thing you have for the Sixers. While we may go after Ben Simmons and some of the other members of this squad for their offensive pieces that are lacking or continued development, all those things, guys, but add Thibault to the mix, right? His offensive game's not quite to where it needs to be just yet. Fortunately, they have Maxey, another young guy, to pick up the slack there. But when you can have Thibault and Ben Simmons on the court together playing D, it suddenly shuts down all those lanes. Just such a good strategy down the stretch, and Embiid kept his composure late after that double tack. Can't wait to hear the postgame from him and from John Collins.
Sixers win it. They force Game 7. We'll have more on this game coming up in a couple of minutes. But right now, he's getting set to join us on the hotline. He is the fansided.com editor-in-chief. He is a longtime pro football insider. He is a pro football Hall of Fame voter, at least currently, before they wind up, you know, potentially, you know, taking it away from him because he appears on this show and some of the stuff he says, it's, oh my goodness, it's crazy. We're going to get to Jason Cole coming up in 1 second. And clearly, look, there are two really big stories in the NFL today. We have the Cole Beasley and the vaccine talk, which is getting to be really rampant. And then you have the Packers who, after they split their time, ready to go, hey, we'll see you again for training camp, say we have one plan, regardless of quarterback, and Matt LaFleur has told Jordan Love, prepare like you are the starter. And this is where Green Bay Packers fans have to prepare like they're going to go 0-16. With us now on the hotline, the man who is the author of the new book, Jordan Love, A Relentless Life in Pursuit of the Packers Starting Quarterback Job. It is Jason Cole. What's happening, J. Cole?
So Staubach called me last week after I outed him as a source.
Okay.
Okay, good. How'd that work out for you?
Not well. And he's ticked at me. And I, you know, finally said, look, buddy, will you buck up? I know that the whole thing going to Vietnam was tough, but, you know, once in a while you got to say that you were the actual source and you got to put yourself out there a little bit.
Okay. Wow. So, okay. Jason Cole, people who can't talk to anymore. Anyone with the Dallas Cowboys. Let me write that right there.
Hey, we still have 31 franchises that are out there.
That's true. That's right. There's 31 other teams. It's okay. Well, he can't talk to Tebow anymore, so that's out. So Jacksonville is out.
Jacksonville's gone.
Okay, so Jacksonville and Dallas are both out.
I'm down to 30.
Okay.
I'm not real good with Mark Davis and the Raiders, so we're down to 29. And I'm working my way through the league. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, that's good.
It's good.
All right. Okay, good. Yeah. Everybody else is insiders and everything. You know, hey, I try to expand my reach. You're going the other way. I like it. Not many people do that. Look, I want to have less teams talk to me. I like that.
More concentrated information then.
I know that, listen, because we talked about the Packers, and this is the story you're referring to last week, is that, you know somebody, former quarterback in the NFL, who knows Aaron Rodgers and how much fun he's having, twisting the knife at LaFleur and the Packers and all this stuff, doesn't want to go back. What do you make now that you told us it was Roger Staubach? What do you make now of this last couple of days? That, hey, Jordan Love was there, prepare, you're the starter, we have one plan at quarterback.
It's great. Matt, enjoy the playoffs when you don't make it. Yeah, enjoy watching from the couch. Hey, look, I hope Jordan Love is great. I hate cheering against people or anything like that. But let's not kid ourselves. You're going as far as Aaron Rodgers takes you. So, hope that this thing with this whole Rodgers thing works itself out. That's what you need to do. And You need to go to Murphy, and you need to go to Gutkunst, and need to say, hey, look, guys, we need that guy. Fix it. Fix it somehow, some way.
Okay. So they say they're going to fit, but really, how can you fix it at this point?
That's a tough question. I don't know. I mean, because ultimately, it's up to Rodgers. What does Rodgers really want to do? Does he want to play? We've talked about this before. Does he have the anger within him to sit there and say, I am never playing for this team again? I absolutely, totally refuse to play for these guys. And I'm so angry that I'm willing to say that publicly. Right, in order to get out of this place. Because that's really the only way he can do it. It's the only way any player can do it, is to make it so uncomfortable for the team that they have to get rid of him. The problem is that when you do that, I mean, you cause irrevocable, is that right? Damage to your own reputation. That's number one. Like, your name is mud in Green Bay forever, generally. They won't forgive you. The other part of this is, how much pressure do you think you put on yourself once you do that? Now, I think Aaron Rodgers can take that pressure. But if he says, I want out no matter what, and he gets traded to, say, Denver, he better get to the Super Bowl minimum, right? Or everybody's going to rip him up one side and down the other. Whether he would have gotten to the Super Bowl with Green Bay or not, there's going to be an enormous amount of pressure for him to win another championship because of taking that kind of stance, if he's willing to go there. And so far he hasn't. He's teased everybody about it. It's clear that he's done it privately. He has not done it publicly.
And if he goes to Las Vegas, then that's the end of any intel on him anyway. So we move on.
Well, it's the end of his career too. I mean,
well, like, there's that too.
Forget intel. At that point in time, intel is the least of his problems. He has to deal with the fact that he's being coached by a guy who would like to do Corona commercials more than actually coach.
Boom. What up? And just keep sending him pictures of the other quarterbacks that won one Super Bowl. That'll be enough to make him recognize the grass isn't always greener. But let's go to the other big NFL story right now, Jason. We'd had it for weeks about coaches and some of the veteran coaches and vaccination and the rules that would be in place for this coming season. And now we've got Cole Beasley, who is, I mean, to his credit, he's taken it up and just, here's what I am, and here's what I feel about all of this. But how big a problem overall is this going to be for the NFL? They got the new rules that came out this week, a reiteration mostly of last year's rules, but how pervasive is this?
Look, number one, I don't think most fans care. So I don't think it's a real public image problem, and nobody really cares. And I'm not trying to dismiss Cole Beasley, because he's completely right that the NFLPA didn't think this one through very well and didn't help their own guys, because he's absolutely right about the fact that if he's staying in the same hotel with guys who are vaccinated but who are going out, he's just as susceptible, basically, as anybody else. It's not helping him at all, right? And so they have to figure out some other kind of solution. Or, here, Cole, get vaccinated, right? But there are certain people who don't want to go through this. I get that. I understand it. But I just don't think, like, I don't think that, A, this is going to get in the way of people playing games. Like, they got through last season in a minor miracle. They got through last season with very few embarrassments. Yeah, some reschedules. Yeah, a bizarre Broncos game where, you know, the Broncos had no chance to win the game at all because they didn't have a quarterback. But that, you know, it was very few and far between things, problems that they had last season. So to me, they're going to survive this just fine. And again, your common fan, your common man out there who's, you know, paying attention to football is just like, okay, are they going to play? You know, and they're going to play. There's no question about it. They will find a way around this. I would say this, the NFLPA has botched this, and in large part because the NFLPA doesn't really understand, surprisingly, doesn't understand how locker rooms work. The people who are in the leadership, you know, the highest levels of leadership in the NFLPA, they don't understand their constituency and what those guys do. And I know that, you know, that's not a shot really at JT Treader. It's more of a shot at D. Smith.
Is it a case of if the big players on the team came out and said, hey, let's get vaccinated, everybody would get vaccinated? Like, if you saw the big leaders of the team that would come out, like if Josh Allen would come out and said, hey, I'm going to get vaccinated, instead it was, hey, I'm going to, you know, everybody has their own thing, I'm going to do my own thing. Well, would that change things at all if the big players, the big leaders on the team said, hey, this is what we think, this is why you should get vaccinated, and this is why we need to do it?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think if you go around and everybody says, look, guys, we got to get this done. We're trying to compete. We're trying to win. We're trying to be in games. Like, just do this. You'd probably get everybody to come along pretty quickly in getting vaccinated. It wouldn't be that big a problem. You'd have a few holdovers. But, like, when Montez Sweat is doing this and he's saying that, what do you say? I'm waiting for more information to come out. Like, we got a year's worth of data, dude. What else do you need to know at this point in time? What else is there for you to learn? Or I'm going to wait, I haven't gotten sick yet. I'm going to wait to get vaccinated. So you're waiting to get sick to get vaccinated? That's sort of counterintuitive. Do you understand, Montez?
You can follow him on
Twitter. Wait. I got one more lighter one for him.
Go ahead.
Just real quick,
sure.
Jason. All right, this will be fast. As you make your predictions for the upcoming season, will you take into account that Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes are on the Madden cover, yes or no?
Oh, absolutely. That's like factor number one. Like, that's the jinx. I mean, that's the only way that I make my decision, based on the Madden cover for the upcoming season.
Okay, good. Just we now have him saying that on record, Smith.
So. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you got that. Yeah,
and I'm okay with that
because it's a prediction.
Yeah, and that's it. Scratched two teams out of the getting out of the Jets' way. The Chiefs aren't going to win. Neither are the Bucks. So I'm okay. It's two teams out of the Jets' way.
Trust me, I got Jets Panthers. It's all the way.
Week
one. It's Sam Darnold Bowl. It's the plan, and then come back. Come to L.A. They're going to be there for you.
That's what it's going to be. After week one, it's going to be, we'll see you in February.
That's what they'll say to each other coming off the field. We'll be back. You'll see us 6 months from now. That's it.
Editor-in-chief and fan
the revenge game. The revenge game for whoever loses.
The Zach Wilson revenge game. He's on Twitter at JasonCole62. That's at JasonCole62. And longtime NFL insider for 29 teams currently in the league.
29 years, but only 29 teams. Yeah. Right. Okay. All right. Later.
Work on upsetting another team for next week for us, if you can. There he goes.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of time to X off a few more teams.
That's 29. These teams won't talk to me. We got more coming up in 90 seconds, but let's find out what's trending in the wide world of sports right now with special delivery, Steve DeSager, SD.
Hello, gentlemen. In the NBA playoffs second round, the Utah Jazz, facing elimination in Game 6, are leading in L.A. against the Clippers first quarter, 19-16, with about 5 minutes left. Donovan Mitchell with 8 points for his team in the opening period. Meanwhile, with Kawhi Leonard out again for the Clippers with his knee injury, Terrence Mann started. He has 10 points so far, and Utah guard Mike Conley is playing. He had missed the series to this point with a strained hamstring. Philadelphia is still alive after winning a Game 6 at Atlanta, 104-99. Seth Curry with 24 points from three-point range. He was 6 for 9. Atlanta on free throws, just 13 for 24. Losing a close game, Game 7 will be Sunday night in Philadelphia. Kyrie Irving with his sprained ankle will miss the Nets Game 7 tomorrow night hosting Milwaukee. In this Clippers-Utah series, a Game 7 would be Sunday afternoon at Utah. The Suns await the winner. The Celtics traded a first-round draft choice and Kemba Walker to Oklahoma City for Al Horford. Dirk Nowitzki joined the Mavericks as a special advisor, and committing to play on the U.S. Olympic team are Bradley Beal, according to The Athletic, and Devin Booker, according to ESPN. Also on the U.S. roster so far, Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, and Draymond Green. The Americans' opening game in Tokyo is July 25th. In the NHL semifinals, Vegas still up 2-1 at Montreal with about 2 minutes to go in regulation. Copa America on FS2 tonight. Argentina got an early goal going up against Uruguay. By the way, earlier, Chile defeated Bolivia 1-0. Argentina's goal held up for a 1-0 victory. Euro soccer tournament had Scotland playing a scoreless tie at England in the rain at Wembley Stadium. To Major League Baseball, Pittsburgh had lost 10 games in a row. The Pirates led 11-1 going to the seventh inning against Cleveland. It was 11-10 in the top of the ninth. Cleveland had runners at second and third, two outs, and stranded them. Pittsburgh does get a W, 11-10. Baltimore had lost 8 in a row but beat up Toronto 7-1. Atlanta, a 9-1 winner against St. Louis. Oakland won its seventh straight game, 5-3 at the Yankees, and Washington won its fifth in a row, beating the Mets 1-0 with a run in the bottom of the ninth. The loss to closer Edwin Diaz, who allowed a walk and two singles. 20 pitches of work, no outs recorded. And you were talking NFL. There is a report from WROC that the Buffalo Bills are planning to have a new outdoor stadium in Orchard Park, New York, maybe in about 5 years. It still needs government approvals, including funding. The current place they've played, they've been at that stadium since 1973. The Bills' current lease goes through 2023. Could be extended if need be. Back to you.
Thanks a bunch, Steve. I appreciate it, my friend. I noticed how you went really in depth on the Edwin Diaz stats, more so than you did a lot of other games on the dial there. So I just want to say, well, I
Sweden beat Slovakia 1-0 on a penalty kick.
I had Forsberg, of all things. Exactly. 77th minute, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, oh, Montreal Canadiens have scored. We might have overtime playoff hockey tonight. It's 2-2 late.
Hey, we just got in here at Fox Sports Radio. The world could end at 11, but Edwin Diaz is ninth inning. Let me tell you right here. As this meteor hurtles towards Earth, there's nothing that can stop it, and nothing could stop Edwin Diaz from not recording an out in the
ninth
inning.
Actually, this is the definition of news tonight, the man-bites-dog moment, when the closer who comes in, not necessarily to close, it was scoreless bottom of the ninth, but literally can't get an out. Leadoff walk, single, single, game over.
It's okay, because I'm going to go to bed in first place, and I'm going to wake up in first place, and it's going to be okay.
And if the world really does end because of the meteor, then
the Mets
it
win.
Really
no trophy.
Yeah.
Then the Mets win.
It will have melted.
The Mets win. The Mets have the largest lead in Major League Baseball in first place, so the Mets win. The Mets get they win at the end.
Is anyone else over 500 in that division?
If that comet, that's irrelevant. Oh, okay. If that comet is coming down, I'm going to have my Tom Seaver Mets jersey. I'm going to go, yeah,
and
we did it.
Smile on your face.
Right.
That's how he goes into the good night. You got to love that.
And then eventually when the world comes back, Isaiah will be back running the Knicks, and then things are going to be very difficult. So after that meteor,
5-year blip, is that what we've been
looking
at?
It'll be unlike all the other seasons where he's gone kicking and screaming into that good night as a Mets fan.
Hey, what did I miss? I was in the blip for 5 years. Oh, no, the Mets, nothing. The Mets, the Knicks, they still stink. Yeah, no, it's a – really? Not one of the last five years.
It's
no,
like
you
Tom Hanks coming back from the island. Really? Tennessee has a football team? They were in the Super Bowl?
Thanks a bunch, Steve. I appreciate it, buddy. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Hey, coming up next, we get into the, you know, we always love certain stories on a Friday night. And oh my goodness, do we have the best Friday night story for you, as well as more on the Sixers win over the Hawks. That's coming up next right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And we'll more on the NBA playoffs coming up in about 10 minutes. Right now, Utah leads the Clippers 33-28 with 3 seconds left to go in the first quarter. It has been some kind of offense so far. Donovan Mitchell just hit an incredible four-point play, getting the foul, and this has been some kind of entertaining game so far. But again, we'll have more on that coming up in a few minutes. But now, hey, the Friday story I think we all need. Well, except for the guy this story was about. Maybe you saw this and starting to get a lot of attention. It started a day ago and ended a few hours ago. Lee Sanderlin is a reporter for the Clarion Ledger in Mississippi, and he is in a fantasy football league in which if you come in last, you have to stay in a Waffle House for 24 hours, and each waffle you eat decreases the penalty by an hour. So you got to be in there for 24 hours. Every time you eat a waffle, it knocks an hour off your time. And he was able to, he wrote about this. He was able to document it all the way through. He walked in at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, started eating waffles and would knock an hour off here and there. It was very difficult for him. He ended up being in the Waffle House for 15 hours and eating 9 waffles. Now, before you say, oh my God, just 9, you've ever been to a Waffle House, waffles are huge. It's like each waffle is like if you ate 4 Eggo waffles, right? Just think about, yeah, you know, eating waffle in the morning. Like each waffle is one, you know, is 4 of them. So yeah, he was able to eat 9 before he was, you know, and spent this time there for 15 hours. He tipped them very well, and they allowed him to be there for the entire time. Now, I got to say this. It was kind of a bad strategy. Because to go in there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's not your peak eating time, man. That was a bad strategy right away. Like, you're going to go into a Waffle House and be there. You got to know, I got to go when is a prime eating time, and then I'm going to stay, and then it's going to... You got to go when you are hungry, when it's in the middle of the... Like, very early in the morning, or you go in, like, right at midnight. And you starve yourself for a while.
Yeah, but maybe you're not hungry early in the day. Because I'm certainly not. But I'm not looking to eat.
No, but you know you're doing this. If you know you got to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House, you got to say, okay, I got to go in when I'm very hungry, and I got to go in when I can spend some time and just, you know, eat, and eat a certain amount of waffles every few hours. And going at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like early bird dinner time, man. It's not time. That's snack time. You probably ate lunch. You know, you got to go in when you are starving, right? Because I know if I went in, right, I would go in either early in the morning or I would go right at midnight, right? I would be out in 12 hours because I would eat 3 waffles every 4 hours. I would start out eating 3. I would wait. Then I would eat 3 more. Then I 3 more, 3 more, and I'm out. And I'm done. And I'm doing 12 hours in the waffle. I'm like noon to midnight or midnight to noon, and I'm out and I'm done. Probably I would go noon to midnight, maybe because of, hey, it would probably be easier than maybe go midnight. I, you know, spend time sleeping, whatever it was. I'd probably go in noon to midnight. I would wake up and not eat and go in. I know I could do it. I could got out there in 12 hours. I know.
I have no doubt you would be able to finish this off.
Yeah. 12-hour trip.
Yeah, look, I'd be working with the staff of said Waffle House ahead of the appearance to make it an event. And I know he said he tipped them well, but, I mean, there were a lot of opportunities to be had here. No questions about it. But I appreciate the strategy. 9 waffles, 15 hours there, probably made some friends. And if you go at 4 o'clock, like you said, the early bird special, you're sitting there and you're motivated to say, hey, you know what, maybe I just spend the time here because I want to live to that age. And eating a mass quantity of waffles ain't going to help me in that task. It's not going to help me in that task, my man. So, but I appreciate it. And I saw he had posted his this was great. I found my roster from like week 8 or whatever. Just not good. Also, I'm definitely puking soon. His quarterback was Carson Wentz. He had Bryant from Cleveland as his tight end. Nelson Aguilar, who had a couple of huge games, right? Solid season. DJ Moore. Daryl Henderson was his second running back. Josh Jacobs was huge. And then you had Carson Wentz as your
trigger. Yeah, you're not going anywhere with Carson Wentz. You weren't going anywhere with that.
And
that
Kelly was in the flex. I mean, yeah, he was a nice spot play now and again, but if that early you have to go to the well on him, yeah, you were in trouble.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike is swollen up. Yeah,
you want to go. You have a waffle challenge now, don't you?
Yeah, I want waffles now. I just want waffles. That's all I want.
You know what? Tomorrow's Saturday, and you know what? In California, you can go back and eat your damn waffles in person.
Dude, in 2 minutes, I can go have a waffle. What are you talking about, man?
I thought you were
doing a show from
multiple
home. Are you kidding?
Syrups and I'm
going
and
to get waffles
and
now.
And all the accoutrements that would make it the experience you want it to be.
No, man, peanut butter, all kinds of stuff, man. Are you kidding? I'd have been 12 hours, I'd have been out. I'd have done that challenge a
little bit better.
Cookie
butter slathered on those things, too.
Yeah, I would have done. Well, coming up next, what one NBA star needs to learn if he's going to continue to be an NBA star. That's next.
You can eat this.